God, we just say thank you. You raised up our life from the dead. God, we have a sin problem. We didn't have a health problem. We didn't just have a problem. We were dead. God, you raised our life up from the dead. And Lord, our only response to you because of what you did and because you paid it all is what we just sung, all to you I owe. What an appropriate song for us to think about today as we talk about and begin this journey and this process of thinking about, Lord, how would we surrender everything to you, to the one who paid it all? Lord, what else could we give but our hearts and our lives, our time, our resources to you, our Savior and our Lord? Father, thank you that your love never runs away. Lord, there are times where we run away. You are always there. Lord, we love you. Lord God, would you speak to our hearts and our lives this morning in a very deep and impactful way? Lord, as we finish up talking about unrestrained generosity and just begin to just get a glimpse of the what and talk about the how today and the who and the where as we begin this all-important journey. Lord, would you hide me behind the cross? Lord God, may they not see me. Lord, may they not even see these that have led worship this morning, that we have seen you, our Savior and our Lord, and we would hear from you this morning. Lord, if we don't hear from you and respond to you and you don't transform our lives, we don't yield ourselves so that you can do that, Lord, we've wasted our time by coming this morning, and we don't want to waste these moments. So God, speak deeply into our lives, I pray. In the powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You take a copy of God's Word, turn to the book of Acts, if you will. The book of Acts, beginning in chapter number 1, verse number 8. And then you just need to hang on to your Bible because we're going to look at several passages in the book of Acts. We're going to kind of, and also, you can also turn your finger to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture this morning as we talk about the second part in our series of Unrestrained Generosity. This series we're in and where we're going to launch into will not be a very typical series, at least where I usually am, where we go through a book of the Bible and we're in some very deep scripture and expository preaching, if you will. We'll be more topical in the lines of looking at. We're going to definitely be in the Word of God as always, but it'll be a little bit unique and different as we begin to look at some of these key words and where it is we believe God wants us to be. Before we get there, let me remind you, tomorrow we begin a season of prayer for the life of our church. And there's an orange guide in your bulletin. There's a 40 days of prayer. We didn't give you all 40 days because if you're like me, the chances are good you wouldn't keep up with the 40-day booklet. Amen? Yeah, the rest of you are lying. A few of you keep up with it, and I would, but we'll make it easier to you. We're going to give you a weekly prayer guide, all right? To pray every single day. We really are asking you to pray. One of the things we talked about in this the book Transformational Church reminded us that a church that God uses and is transforming people and using that church to help see others' lives transformed is a church that is deeply dependent on prayer. And so we understand if God's going to do something remarkable in our church, more so than what he's even done in the past, we'll talk about that, but that we will begin to pray. So we're going to pray beginning tomorrow for the next 40 days, culminating in a season of prayer, 24-hour day of prayer on Saturday, February the 28th. Now what's interesting about the day, there's going to be a whole lot going on that day. We're going to ask every person to commit to pray for 1 hour for our church, for yourself, and for our Vision 2020 plan, and what your part will be in that. And on that day, we'll have a garage sale for Haiti that day to help our folks earn some resources to go to Haiti. We'll also have a group at Shekinah Glory, and then we're going to be praying. It's going to be a full day that day, but we want you to sign up for a day to pray and pray for an hour to pray. But pray every day from now to then. We'll give you a prayer guide. We'll put it on the website beginning tomorrow where you can see it if you happen to lose it, and we'll post it on Facebook. We want you to be praying deeply and diligently with us as we embark on this journey. I'm just really glad, though, that you are here this morning, and we're really praying that God will do a new thing, a brand new thing. God has done some remarkable things. We're praying God would do another new thing in the life of our church. We're going to talk about, in the year 2015, the book of Acts. We're going to be hanging out there a while, at least in the year 2015, maybe into 2016, and seeing what God was doing then and what that means for us now, the kind of church that God was building then and what kind of church is God building now. We see these individuals who God began to birth something new at the beginning of the church, and these men and women responded by sacrificing and surrendering their lives. And our prayer is that you and I would do the same. And as a result of what they did and what God did through them, God birthed the church and the movement and the sharing of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to talk about, though, just briefly for this morning before we get to the how. And this is a little bit backwards in some people's mind, because we're going to get to the what over the next 5 weeks together. And the how is we're going to talk about unrestrained generosity. But I really had a real compelling desire to talk about how we can give. But I wanted you to have 5 Sundays to see the vision before you really said, Lord, what is it you want me to give? How do I need to be a part of this plan? And so I want you over the next 5 Sundays to begin to pray, God, what is it I need to give towards this? What is it I need to give my resources, my time, my life? What do I need to give? And so we want to set this out on the front side. And so we kind of jumped the gun talking about the how. But before we get to the how this morning, let me talk about the what for a moment. And it is this Vision 2020. You've heard us talk about it for quite some time. It is an ambitious God-sized plan full of dreams of what we could do as a church family to deeply impact. What would happen if our church could deeply impact and truly engage all of our people and our members that are part of Petal First Baptist and impact our city, our state, our nation, and the ends of the earth? As this group met almost a year and a half ago and began to ask questions like this as we began to work through the journey, questions like, what would happen if we engaged more of the members who've now become disconnected? What if we saw more people connected to life groups? What if we got to a place where our life groups were beginning to multiply by constantly growing to the point where they were always creating new groups outside of the group they were in? What if more people began to deeply grow in their relationship with Christ personally that then would have effect on us corporately as a church? What if people were deeply connecting in accountability relationships, people knowing them and praying for each other? What if more people knew their shape? They knew how God had created them and shaped them to serve, and they were actually serving in a ministry. What if all of our people were engaged in some sort of mission opportunity every single year? What if our people were equipped to share their faith and then actually share their faith? What if we were deeply impacting Petal in a strategic way to meet the needs of those in our community so that they could find Christ? What if we took the call seriously to help plant ministry points here in our city, even churches if God called us to do that, to help do that in Mississippi and North America and even to the ends of the earth? And by the way, we're already committed to do that for our unreached, unengaged people group, the Sangal Sakodal. We have committed to stay the course there until we see a sustained church planting movement. What if we were able to complete much needed space, parking? There's no parking on the grass on rainy days when it's a puddle out there. And much needed other needs in our building. What if those things would happen? We deeply believe as a vision team, the Lord is calling us to do more than ever in our history. So as we began to unfold, just for very briefly this morning, about where we think this strategic plan will place us and how we can be prepared for the growth that we are praying that God will continue to challenge all of us to step up the next step in ways we never have before, and follow this plan clearly God has laid out for us. Now, let me remind you before we get there, we talked about a few weeks ago in our State of the Church message where God has brought us. We are still in a season of just, in many ways, euphoria, rejoicing over what God has done, in particular, these last 3 years. In the last 3 years, remember, the Lord has added 242 members in the last 3 years, bringing our membership over to over 650 people. Our worship attendance has grown by 123%. Our life groups have grown by 157%. We've seen our giving the last 3 years increase over 58%. Wow. But more than that, out of those 242 individuals who God connected to our church family, out of that many, 86 of those were those who were baptized in this baptistry who did not know Christ as Savior and Lord, who now have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's exciting, isn't it? There would have been 86 people 3 years ago who did not have that relationship, who now do, because of the testimony and the witness of Petal First Baptist Church. To God be the glory. We've begun to very small ways, begun to impact our city, gone on missions here in Mississippi. We're headed to North America, to Ohio, hopefully this summer. There's a group leaving in a couple of weeks to go check that out. Even going to the ends of the earth, to Haiti and Indonesia, and even beyond that point. And so we stop and we say, Lord, you've been good. Your love endures forever. We celebrate what you have done. God, you are good. And we point people and say, it's not what we have done. It's nothing we've done. Hopefully we've been conduits through which God could move and God could use us so that he could do the amazing, the extraordinary, the far beyond we could even comprehend. And so we began as a vision team to begin to think, God, what would you have us do that's extraordinary, that's beyond our ability? And so this plan, you'll see, is far beyond our abilities. Financially, the ideas that we're where the areas we want to go and the amount of impact we really want to have means some of you are going to be going, that is not possible. Which is exactly what we want you to say. That it will drive us to our knees and say, oh God, if you don't help us, we cannot do these things you're calling us to do. We also began to stop and think about, as we were challenged to think about our community, we were really challenged, for those of us who sat in the room that day, that we really didn't know our community as well as we thought we did. We knew some things about our community. We knew things about the average folks who come to our church family. We began to really pray and think about, what about our city? And we began to do some research and find out that statistically, and we kind of put it together based on average attendance of churches we knew in the Petal area, and even added a little bit of extra preacher bump to give it kind of a nice round number. We guesstimated on any given Sunday that some 5,000 people will gather today in the Petal area, right? The Petal School District area, if you will, to worship. 5,000 people. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? 5,000 people. Wow! That's a lot of people. The only problem is there's over 13,000. 13,000. 70% of our population in our area will not be in church. And I would dare say that the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of those do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we figured out that statistic, it was a sobering moment. That we have a call that God has placed on Petal First Baptist. And before we get too excited looking on the outside, we really took another hard look at our own church family. Though the worship number that God has added is tremendous and exciting and wonderful. 290 in the building last year. That only represents 42% of our membership attended church in an average Sunday last year. 42%. It bothered us. So we did a transformational church assessment. We began to ask you some questions. We got some great feedback. We found some areas where we need to do better. And we've already addressed some of those in the Vision 2020 plan. Some of you perhaps thought we were doing better than our vision team really looked a hard look at and thought, are we really doing that well? And we want to address some of those areas, thinking about growth inhibitors, things that would keep us from growing. There's all kinds of things we could talk about there as we address and think about where we are. We think about our culture from a standpoint of where we are culturally speaking. There was a survey, they just came out, Lifeway does lots of surveys these days, and wow, this was really, really revealing. Americans, in general, 61% say that heaven is a real place. Wow, not too bad. 45% of Americans say there are many ways, though, to get to heaven. Even more troubling, only half of Americans, 53%, say salvation is in Christ alone, and 41% of those people say that those who have never heard of Jesus can get into heaven. Now, not surprisingly, 67% believe in heaven, only 61% believe in hell, and of course, most of those don't think they're going there, obviously. 67% told researchers that most people are basically good, even if they sin a little bit. When it comes to faith, 71% say people contribute some effort towards their own salvation. That's a high number, folks, when we understand we do nothing to earn salvation, right? Not only that, 64% say that in order to find peace with God, people have to take the first step and then God will respond to them. 52%, we wonder why. We also begin to study and talk about churches and what attendance looks like. 52% of people say worshiping alone with family is as good as going to church. And that's pervasive, not only outside the church, but even sometimes inside the church. Talking about the Bible, only 45% say the Bible was written for each person to interpret as they choose. Wow. 48% believe the Bible is God's word. 43% say the Bible is 100% accurate. And 41% say it's helpful, but it's not literally true. And 48% of our country say sex outside of marriage is fine. We can look at our culture. The obstacles that face us outside are large. We have some obstacles facing inside our church family. Financial challenges, debt, some growth challenges of putting people in places, some space issues that we have, spiritual apathy, lack of evangelism, telling others about Christ. Though we've seen that happen, but we believe God wants to do more. A lack of prayer in our church. Obstacles, things that we look at them and go, if we don't address those, they will keep us from growing and who God wants us to be. There is no doubt in my mind that the Lord wants to do even more than the last 3 years and even greater and exciting things in the next 5 years that will take us into the next decade. And here's the neat thing about it to me, and that is this, is as our team began to unfold all this and began this massive project, we began to understand that, guess what? All of us sitting in the room, you are now officially on the vision team. Isn't that exciting? You go, I didn't sign up for that. Oh, but you did this morning, praise the Lord. You're going to be a part of helping us flesh out this vision because there's more to it than what's just right here that we'll share with you over the next 5 weeks. We're going to begin to unfold it. But what we're going to see happen is the creation of four teams and a bunch of teams under those four teams and help ask you to help us flesh this thing out, not just expect 11 people to figure it all out. We want you to help us figure it out and for you to buy in and for you to own it and to make it happen, to find where your calling and your challenge and your giftedness would be to say, I want to be a part of that. The end result of all this, by the way, here it is. It's on your outline. The end result, this is what we came up with. And I'll go back to that just right where you were, Michael. That's perfect. We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people that He can use to transform others. When we set out to do Vision 2020, now our leadership, you're getting a little bit of a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We began to set out to look at and talk about what we're going to do in our building, what we're going to do about budgets, what we're going to do about our baptisms, what we're going to do about bodies in the building, what were we going to do about all that. But boy, God began to really teach us and show us that though that was important and a necessary measuring element, the real crux of what we got really, I guess, even was impacted last fall in the series we went through called Transformation. The word transform continued to jump out at us over and over and over again. And the new scorecard, and there's more to it than this, but the bottom line is the real measurement of what we're being as God calling us to be is, are we seeing people's lives transformed? Not just simply do we get them in a baptistry and see them saved, but are we seeing their lives transformed? It's a different measuring stick, and it's a lot harder sometimes to measure. We believe that is what He's calling us to be. And inside this plan of this vision are four key words. I don't have time to dive into all this morning. It's just going to be a brief, a complete flyover of a 777 flying over the building this morning, all right? Dropping a big old bomb on you, all right? And you ready for it? Four key words that will help us address and face the challenges and the opportunities and the strengths and weaknesses and all the things and dreams that God's put before us. How do we do that? Four words. Here they are. Number one, the word connect. Connect yourself to others, to Christ, and others to the church. Connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. We understand and know that people must be connected. Not just connected with my name on the roll, though. It goes far beyond that because we've really cheapened membership. As I come down, I say, I want to join. You join. My name's on the roll, and it's there until I die. We want membership to count, folks, to mean something significantly. That we want people to connect, I would might even add the word, to deeply connect, if you will. Not just join and say, here I am, but to connect deeply. Secondly, the idea that we want you to grow in a deepening relationship with Christ, that you grow in your personal walk with the Lord, that you grow when you're here, that we see people of God who are growing, who are not stuck in the baby nursery, still in the milk of the Word, but who are on the meat of the Word. They're growing deeply. The third, the word commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others. When every person's serving somewhere. That's what's unique about these four teams. I've mentioned this to a couple of preachers that I know, and they said, you are crazy. I said, I know. Well, you're not the first person who told me that, I can tell you, in a lot of different ways, but thank you. We're serious. Every one of you sitting in this room, our desire is that every one of you would serve on a ministry team. One of these four teams, connect, grow, commit, go, and there's a bunch of teams under this, and we'll unpack this later, but that every single one of you sitting in this building, and some of you are going to start to squirm already going, holy cow, that's not what I came to church for today. We were ready. We've been praying about this for weeks and months. We're excited about it. Because it's not just like 11 people or 4 people or your staff doing this. We want all of you to be a part of this. We need you to be a part of this. It won't happen if you aren't a part of it. Isn't that exciting? I say, yes. Does it make me nervous because I don't have control over it? Oh, yes, it does. We're going to put it in your hands. Now, we fleshed out a lot of this stuff already to help you kind of think through some ideas, not just give you cold turkey, but and we're praying about four key leaders to take these four areas and say, this, I will run with this. Commit your time and resources. The last one, go share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. And we believe strongly that it will begin right here in Petal. Yes, we're going to the ends of the earth. Yes, we believe God's going to call us to Toledo, Ohio. And I just can't help but share this with you. Listen to how God works. Oh, anybody tell me who's not been to Indonesia, our Sangha Sakadaw people group, what religion are they? Somebody tell me it's not going to Indonesia. And not been. And not been in an Embrace conference. Somebody tell me. Muslim. Where's Chad? Is Chad Greenwood here today? I haven't seen Chad. I don't know if he's here or not. Chad Greenwood and Felicia, they were talking to the guy. They've had some initial conversations. And he just said in passing, just for having this conversation this week, he said, yeah, there's this, and there's a large group of Muslim people in this city. And he just went right on. I said, whoa, time out. Did you just say Muslim people? He said, yes. Now, Chad, if you know Chad, Chad is level. Chad doesn't get excited about anything. He's just a level guy. That's the way I am. I never get excited. Just level all the time, right? I almost came out of my chair. Annabeth was sitting there. I think I almost stood in my chair. I'm like, Muslims? I said, we just trained 20 people in NE3, which teaches them how to share the gospel with a Muslim. That just happened accidentally. God just accidentally put us with those people. Oh, no, he didn't. We want everybody to go everywhere, to North America, to Mississippi. We're going to develop a partnership with Shekinah Glory. We've already talked to their pastor, and we're going to commit together. We're going to have a joint service somewhere to say we're committed together to help you, not just come and pop up some sheetrock once a year, but to develop relationships and help you grow your church, to partner together. And I think it's significant that it's an African-American congregation. I think it's huge. I mean, that's God's call for us, by the way, just like we have with Mount Vernon. And then right here in Petal. To go far beyond where we are. We've done some great things so far, folks. We want to go far beyond a tailgate. Though that's great and it's necessary and it's important. Folks, we want these people to know in our own backyards, in downtown Petal, and behind Dirt Cheap, and in some of our mobile home communities and other communities around this area that we care. And we want to share the gospel with them, which means this. Are you ready for it? Here's the other exciting part you signed up for. You signed up for a lot today, didn't you? You had no idea you were signing up. Here's the deal. We've got to get out of the mentality, and I told you this before, that eventually that our church sign will no longer be necessary. Now, I know that sign's important. We're going to keep running, okay? For a while, we paid a lot of money for it. I know. Some of you did. What do I mean by that? The people drive by this community, they know the Petal First Baptist cares deeply. Deeply. And it doesn't just care, but it's showing that they care. And they don't have the mentality, which says on the sign, hey, y'all come. Hey, y'all come. You know what we discovered, what we realized? The bulk of the people we're going to try to reach, listen to me, they will not step foot inside this building. So we have an option. We have an option. We think about our culture. We think about them. We can just think, well, God bless them. Bless their hearts. We'll pray for them. Hope they get there. Or we decide, no, we will go and tell. There's a group already praying, by the way. Oh, I need like days to tell you all this stuff. There's a group already praying about doing some backyard Bible clubs this summer. Partnering with the Center for Children and Families that are going out in that bus, that big painted bus you may have seen. We want to partner with them to go in those communities and read to kids so we can begin to establish relationships, so we can have some ministry points to begin to minister. There is so much more. I need to move on. The who. Who is the who? Well, there it is. It's us. Who is the who? Let's look in the Bible. Let's see what was happening in the New Testament. Where do we get these four words from? Where do we get these ideas from? We just come up with them out of the air? Oh, no. Oh, no. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We all know it. What does it say? We all know it very well. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. And out of that moment, God begins to birth a movement right there. We jump over to Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 41. Look what's happening. And I'm going to go even past verse 41. I didn't give her the right ones. Michael, so it's my fault. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced at the heart. Peter's preaching now, okay? And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off. Hello, that's us, by the way. And as many as the Lord God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. You think Peter could preach that sermon today? Oh, yes. So then those who received his word were baptized, and those were added that day, about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves. Watch this. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began to sell their property and possessions and were sharing with them, with all, as anyone might have a need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor. Oh, that God would give us this word, a favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't want to be a part of any kind of dead church. This was not a dead church. This is an alive church. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? A live church. We don't want to see one that never uses the baptistry. They can put flower arrangements up there all the time. Why? Because we want to see lives transformed. Where people are gathering together, there's a sense of awe and wonder at who God is and what he has done, and that he would even choose to call Petal First Baptist to be used of God. Acts chapter 4, there's more there. The time just completely has run out. I get off on these exciting tangents. What do they do? Four things quickly. What do you see happen? I'm going to jump over that one. Look what they did. There was connecting to the Lord and to the church. They are worshiping the Lord. They were connecting people to the body. They were inviting people, sharing the gospel, right? They were connecting the Lord. They were meeting together. And then not only that, there was growth taking place, both spiritual and numerical. Wow. The two go hand in hand. People say, well, numbers don't matter. You're right, they don't, but they do. They matter because they're people. And if we're growing spiritually, what healthy things do? They grow, right? Thirdly, notice there was commitment happening. They were serving and they were giving. Why? Here's why. Because their belief in Jesus, their unity together, brought out generosity in them. They almost couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Lastly, they were going and telling others because we see people being added to the church every single day. They were serious about going and telling. The question is for us, are we like this church in the New Testament? Are we going and are we telling? So we see the what. We see the who. Let's talk about the how. Let's talk about the how quickly. If we are that healthy and alive and growing church, that growing living church needs resources. In order to see that church grow and flourish and have even a greater impact. Some might feel from time to time, we've talked about money from time to time, we don't do it often. People say, well, they're always talking about money. Well, let me just be honest with you. Growing things are alive, and alive things need resources. Dead things and dead churches don't need new or more resources because they're not attempting great things for God to fulfill an extraordinary vision that God has given them. So I want to just tell you without any hesitation whatsoever, don't get hung up on the how part we're going to talk about. Get hung up on the what. I don't want you leaving in this morning saying, good night, the preacher's talking about this. What I want to leave you talking about is, good night, the preacher talked about how we're going to help the poor and the widow and the orphan and the lost and go to the ends of the earth and in my own backyard and praise God what God is doing. That's the what. That's what we ought to be talking about. But because of the what, because of what God is doing, there has to be a how. There has to be this anticipation of the excitement of what God could do if we will listen. We're going to ask you to pray like never before for 40 days in a row. Some of you have never prayed 40 days in a row. We're going to challenge you, pray 40 days in a row. Some of you have never prayed for an hour. We're going to challenge you on February 28th to pray for 1 hour. Now, don't panic. We're going to help you. We'll give you a guide to do that. Because some of you think, I can't pray 4 minutes. Hey, I'm ADD. You think I can pray for an hour? I have to have a guide. I have to have something to help me because I can pray to the ends, wow, all over, everywhere. I want to be focused in my praying. I want you to pray like ever before. We want you to give like never before, and we want you to go like never before. Now, not all of us are going to go to Indonesia. There's only about 12 to 15 people a year we can take. We can take about 35, 45, 50 to Haiti a year, Now they would say thousands. We can take about that many, at least for the next two trips anyway, right? With only so many, they're going to go internationally on the front side. But there's a lot that can happen in North America. There's a lot that can happen right here in Petal. A lot of him in Jackson, Mississippi. How's that going to happen? Well, here's what's going to have to happen. Everybody takes the next step. In 2014, our ministry plan was just shy of $580,000. You gave, as a church family, including Outlive Your Life, about $571,000. Absolutely extraordinary. Our finance team, along with some of the folks who are on the vision team, that were on the finance team, began to understand where we're heading as a vision team, so you adopted a temporary ministry budget till we got to Vision 2020 to bring you a revised budget. And part of that budget included, because we feel so strongly about this, of putting the entire building payment back in our church ministry plan. We're going to call our ministry plan now Vision 2020 plan, all right? That's our church budget, if you will. We want to put the budget back in there. And we've not added ministry line items we want to add to impact from Vision 2020, and that budget already stands at just shy of $700,000, $120,000 more than we gave last year. Now, I love our finance team. They have vision, and I want to have that. And I do have that vision, but when it comes down to the bottom line, man, it freaks me out. Because I think, what if we don't? And my finance team says, yeah, but it's up to God, not to you, preacher. That takes some pressure off. Here's the deal. How does it happen? How do we get to that doubling point? And by the way, money in our church right now is fantastic. God has just provided in extraordinary ways. And you're going to see what you have done in the last year or so. But how do we get there? It's asking somebody just to join the church and say, hey, by the way, you got to lose 10% of your income, give it to God. People are like, holy cow, I can't do that right off. How do we do this? Well, I want to give you a picture of where we are as a church family. There's a pie background to give you an idea of where we are. I'm going to come back to that verse, Michael. Yell at me. I'm going to come back to that verse, all right? Look at where we are. As a church family, I want you to know, the green area, the large area, 18% of our church family gave $5,000 or more dollars and gave 59% of the resources of our church. 18%. That's a small number. But here's the exciting part. Most churches, it's 20% give 80%. And so we don't have that number. So can I just say, good job, Petal First Baptist. I was so excited. I was like, yes, we don't hit the 18 or 20 give 80. We're at 18 give 59. Notice the next group of people. The next group of people, the 25 or 22% of our total givers gave between $1,000 and $5,000 last year. And that represented 25% of our total resources. Now, here's a shocker. And again, I don't know who all these people are. I have no clue. D gave me all this stuff with the spreadsheet. Has nobody's names on it, so we could have these statistics. But we know this next group, 17% of those that are giving, according to our giving units, and these are, by the way, 18 years and older giving units, all right? Almost 200 giving units in our church, okay, including most of our resident members. But this next category, these are non-members. Non-members. They are not members of our church at all. And this group gave 13% of our resources last year. Wow. And the last number, perhaps a shocking number, the 3%. 3% of our budget was given by 43% of our church members who gave less than $1,000 in a year. Now, some would say, well, that's not good. That's probably pretty typical. But here's the way we look at it. What if we challenged everybody to take the next step up? No matter where you are in your giving. Now, again, this is not included Outlive Your Life giving. This is just simply to the ministry plan giving. What would happen? Matthew chapter 19. Go back there if you will. Chapter 6, verse 19. Listen to what it says there. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, and for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the challenging word. I would say to you, hey, folks, I got a bank you can put your money in. It's called the Brad Eubank Deposit Bank. Now listen, here's how I keep your bank, and I've just got a box that just sits outside my office, and just dump your money in, and we'll leave it there, all right? Not keep any records, and we're not going to really lock the doors because we just know Petal's a great place. We're just going to lock the doors. How many of you would sign up to be a part of my bank? Tyler, you're brave. That's because you have no money. That works out well. Nobody? Yet sometimes, that's what we do with this world. Because what we spend our money on so many times will not last. And we believe we're giving you an opportunity to take the next step up in giving in something that will last. Here's what we want you to do. There's a resource called The Generosity Ladder. It's a book by Nelson Searcy. It's a church planner in New York. And this church planner in New York helped people think through this idea, which is fantastic. Go back off that thing. You're going to take my one thing away. We'll have to come back to the very end. That's my whole ladder. This is the exciting part right here. Drum rolls, right? Here's what we want you to think about. There are five levels of giving we want you to pray about. By the way, the bottom is financial stress. The top, financial peace. We talked a lot about this last week, and how do we do that? Some real strategic ways to do that. You can go back and check that out on our website. Great stuff if you weren't here last week. What we understand is there's some of you in the room that you have never, ever given, ever, to the Lord or the church, a penny, a dollar, but nothing significant. And we're talking about necessarily dollar amounts necessarily, but we want to challenge many of you just to decide, you know what? Just my first step on the ladder is that I would be, first-time giver. I just want to give something to the Lord. And on March the 1st, by the way, it's our commitment and our celebration Sunday, our generosity Sunday, and we're going to challenge every one of you, all of us, to bring our first generosity gift, all right? And so some of you, your first step will be to give for the very first time. For the second group of people in the room, it is to be, you are called an occasional giver, right? An occasional giver. What do you mean by occasional? Well, occasional, those of us who are, it's more event-based. We're opportunity-based. We come into church and we're messages like this, and all of a sudden we're going to be going, oh, there we go, I'm giving. Man, I got to give $20, all right? We give occasionally. We give more sporadically. It's not something we do on a regular basis. But for some of you, you've already given first time, so your next step up is like, you know, I'm going to be a little more occasional in my giving. Not going to just give it just one time a year. And by the way, next week, we're going to mail to you, or actually this week, what you gave. We'll mail a statement to every single member of our church, whether you gave $0 or you gave $1 million, all right? Doesn't matter. You'll get a statement this week, and so you'll know where you are, by the way. First-time gifts, occasional givers. The next step up, some of you, you've gone past occasional, and you've become intentional in your giving, right? You've become intentional. You've gone past just giving one time and giving occasionally, but now you say, you know what? I want to be more intentional about my giving. So you might even begin to plan your mind. You know what? I make the median income in Pedal. All right? The median income in Pedal is around $54,000. I do $50,000 because I need even numbers to make it work right for me. So about $50,000. So if you take that, divide that by two, over 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, you give $100, you'd give $2,500 over the year. Maybe all you've given is $20 or $30. And God says, you know, I don't want you to go further than that. I want you to become intentional about your giving. The next level, by the way, is tithing. We know about this word. Most of us have heard this word. You've been in church. You know about the word tithing. Tithing is 10% of our money. Again, we have people that say, well, tithing is not biblical. It's not what God, not New Testament. That's not right. Well, if you want to don't do tithing, go Old Testament, then that's fine. Then we need to get 22%. Some of us will say, I think we'll stick to the 10. That's fine, right? Hey, go ahead and get 14%. Praise God, I tell people. That's great, right? 10% of what God has given us. Some of you want to step up from intentional and say, God, I want to, in faith, take the next step to be a part of Vision 2020 to say, what if I did and took the next step to tithing? And lastly, the next level is extravagant giving. Extravagant giving. Rebecca and I felt years and years ago, back early in our marriage, we've got really convicted and challenged that God had not called us to be a tither any longer, that God gave us the opportunity to do far more than tithing. And we became what you might call an abundant or an extravagant giver. And for some of you, God's going to call you to go beyond the tithe and go to the extravagant level. So how does that happen? How do you do that? Does it mean you got to have more resources coming in? No, here's what we believe. It comes down to an obedience issue. An obedience issue. What would happen, church family? What would happen if everyone in this building and on our roles and our membership, which means we're going to have to talk to these folks and they're going to get stuff in the mail about this, what if they just took the next step up in their giving? I got to tell you about a church that did this, and it's on a mega scale beyond ours. First Baptist Houston did this in the city of Houston, Texas. They challenged their church over 2 years. Their regular ministry plan was just a little bit more than ours, $22.5 million a year, just a little more than ours, right? And they said, so for the next 2 years, you total that amount up, it would be $45 million. But we want to do more than that. They had a vision similar to what we are, but even obviously larger and more expensive than ours. But they had this incredible plan. They want to ask people to give that plus $15 million more. They're believing God to give $15 million more. It's a 2-year commitment. They end this commitment in February. And I talked to one of their staff members because I was trying to get some information about how this would work and how this would look for us in our church and think about this. But he told me this. He said, Brad, literally, he said, we had to go back as a staff and his finance teams to figure out what to do with the money. Folks, I've never heard a church pastor say that in my whole life. Ever. They had thousands of people who committed to go just to the next level in their giving, and they did it. And right now, the challenge was $60 million. As of last Sunday, their church has given over $70 million in 2 years. Wow. Now, we're not talking about that kind of grand scale here. That's not what I'm trying to show you. I just want you to see that if God moves and we surrender to the Holy Spirit's call just to take the next step, look what God could do. And so in 2015, we want to challenge you as you're part of Vision 2020 to pray and giving and going, is that you would pray about this giving part, is what is my next step? Not talking about dollar amounts here, because not all of us make the same amount of money. Not all of us make the median income. Some of us make more than the median income. Depends on where you fall in the spectrum. It's not about amount. It's about a heart and a sacrifice issue. It's really what it's about. But really, it's more than that to me. It's a great and awesome opportunity to be a part of something that is extraordinary and eternal. And make an investment and a deposit in something that will last forever. The last thing, and we've got to be done this morning. In your worship guide there is a card. Would you take that out for just a moment? It is a card that looks, it's got orange writing on it. It's got the generosity ladder on it. It looks like this. We're not going to go through the entire thing right now, but I want you to go and have this card, and we want you to hold on to it, but I know a lot of you won't, so we'll have more. Don't panic, all right? But on March the 1st, every one of us are going to have a Commitment Sunday. We're going to bring this card back. And you can read this right here. I'm not going to take time this morning because our time is up, but just very quickly, you would write down this first blank, what I normally give in a year, my additional annual generosity commitment. So if I gave $1,000 last year, I'm going to add an additional $2,000 that I believe God's going to call me to give. I'll add that amount. And then if God calls you to bring an extravagant gift beyond that, to give beyond the ministry plan giving, and this third blank is only for those who are tithing. It would go to this extravagant level who would give either to the Vision 2020 plan to outlive your life, which is to help finish space in our building, or to the GoFund, which is to help people get on the mission field. Getting to the mission field is incredibly expensive. And some of you say, I'll never be able to go, but I want to help others get there. All right? That'll be your generosity commitment. All right? Notice the bottom part here. This is the part that excites me just as much as this part. Everybody take the next step. We want every person to commit to taking the next step in all four of these areas. And they'll be different for each of us. All right? And there's connecting, growing, committing, and going. I'll talk more about this in the coming weeks. But I want you to have this and begin to pray over this. On this backside, what you'll be able to do when you turn this in, it'll be kept private and confidential. The only thing we'll talk about is how many more people said, look, I'm not a giver, but I'm going to be a first-time giver. We are going to share that information with you. But you'll be able to color in the arrow that leads you to your next step. And that's my commitment. Now, I don't know about you. Man, when I look at this, I get so excited. 200 giving units, by the way, if everybody made the median income, which they don't, but some make more, so that's why you have a median income. If everybody that was a giver in our church family, or they're part of our church family, not even givers, because some of the giving units, again, gave nothing, we could see over $1 million in 2015. That is exciting. Does that get you excited? Or are y'all all sound asleep? I can see you looking at me. Is that exciting? Think what we could do, and the ministries we could start, and the people that we could send, and the space we could complete. If we would but take the next step. You've heard the what, you've heard the how. We know you and I are the who. Church family, these are important days. And I am so excited to see what God is going to do in you and through you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you this morning for a time that we can come and respond, Lord, to what you're calling us to do. And Lord, for some this morning, before we even get to Vision 2020, God, you have a heart for them to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And Lord, it's so simple. And yet, Lord, it's the greatest commitment of our lives. It's simple because you offered us a free gift, salvation. Well, you say, if you will but ask me to forgive you of all your sins, admit that you are a sinner to me. I already know that you are, but you admit that to me. And believe that I am the Son of God who came and lived and died for you. And be willing to confess Him as Savior and commit your life to Him as Lord for the rest of your days, for the greatest journey, but a life of sacrifice and surrender. It's not cheap. Christ's sacrifice wasn't cheap, and his call to be a Christ follower isn't cheap either. But for some of you this morning, to help us to Vision 2020, you need to have your life transformed before God can use you to transform somebody else's life. So I want to encourage you to come and say, I want to follow Christ. Others of you this morning, you've asked Christ in your heart, but you've never made it public. You've never stepped forward and said, I want to be baptized and let people know that I'm a Christ follower, that I've been transformed by the gospel. I want to encourage you to come forward and say yes to Christ. For some of you, God's been speaking to your heart about joining this church family, and maybe God will call you to join this church family this morning. We're here to receive you and say, yes, God's called me to be a part. I'm a Christ follower, but I believe God's calling me here. Maybe for others, come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to do business with you. Lord, I want to begin to pray even now, right now, for myself and for my church family for Vision 2020 and what my part will be. I pray every one of these Sundays, I'll be honest with you, I pray every one of these Sundays, over these next five Sundays and six, including today, that we'll see this altar full of people praying and seeking God's face over the next steps in their life. You might do it there at your seat, and that's certainly fine, but I'm praying that God will call dozens of people to the front of this altar and say, God, we know and understand what we're about to embark on is so exciting and so sacrificial and so far beyond us that, God, we know the only place we can get is to our knees. So, God, may we respond to you this morning. Lord, you would do a powerful work in this moment of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand.